Welcome to Blog Bytes, where we bring the best engineering blogs to life in bite-sized audio episodes. I'm Jitin, joined by my co-host Sunil, and together we break down complex tech insights into engaging, easy-to-digest conversations. Whether you're commuting, coding, or just curious, we've got you covered. No fluff, just sharp, insightful discussions straight from the latest engineering blogs. Let's dive in and decode today's topic, one bite at a time. Hey everyone, welcome back to Blog Bytes. I'm Jitin, and with me is my friend and co-host, Sunil.
Hey there. Always excited to dive into some fascinating engineering content with you, Jitin.
Today we've got a really interesting piece from Pinterest Engineering that caught my eye. It's all about their quest to understand metric movements. You know, those mysterious ups and downs in system metrics that can drive engineers crazy.
Oh yes, that's something every engineer can relate to. You see a sudden spike or drop in your metrics, and then comes the fun part of figuring out why it happened.
Exactly, and Pinterest has developed some really clever approaches to tackle this problem. The blog is written by Charles Wu, Isabel Talam, Franklin Xiao, and Kapil Bajaj from their engineering team.
What I love about this is how relevant it is to any large-scale system. I mean, whether you're Pinterest or any other tech company, understanding why your metrics suddenly change is crucial.
Absolutely. And they've broken down their approach into three really practical methods that I think our listeners will find super useful. Ready to dig in?
Let's do it.
So, the first thing Pinterest's team acknowledges is just how tricky it can be to pinpoint why metrics change. Like, imagine you notice higher latency in your feed. It could be anything from an OS upgrade to a data pipeline hiccup.
Yeah, or even something as simple as unexpected user traffic. The possibilities are endless, which is what makes it such a challenging problem to solve.
That's why I love their first approach, the slice and dice method. It's basically like being a detective with your metrics.
Oh, that's interesting. How does it work exactly?
Well, think about something like video view rate. Instead of just looking at the overall number, they break it down into different dimensions. You know, things like country, device type, the type of pin, surface area.
Ah, I see what they're doing. By breaking it down into smaller segments, you can spot which specific areas are actually causing the change.
Exactly. And what's really cool is how they organize these segments into a tree structure. Each branch represents a different combination of these dimensions.
That's pretty clever. Instead of just seeing that your overall video views dropped by 10%, you might discover it's actually a 50% drop, specifically on Android devices in Canada.
Right. And they even borrowed some ideas from LinkedIn's Third Eye system, but added their own twist to it. They look at things like how many data points each segment represents and how unexpected the movement is compared to what they predicted.
I really like how practical this approach is. Instead of getting overwhelmed by all the possible causes, you can systematically narrow down where the problem is actually happening.
And they've made it pretty flexible too. You can tweak how you calculate the expected versus observed values, and even add new factors that make sense for your specific use case.
Sounds like they've found a way to turn a needle in a haystack problem into something much more manageable.
Let's talk about Pinterest's second approach, what they call general similarity. This one's really fascinating because it looks for metrics that move together.
So instead of breaking things down like in the first approach, they're looking for patterns between different metrics?
Exactly. They've got four main ways to measure how similar these movements are. They use Pearson correlation, Spearman's rank correlation, Euclidean similarity, and something called dynamic time warping.
That's quite a toolkit. Let's break it down for our listeners.
Pearson correlation tells us how strongly two things are related. If it's close to one, it means when one thing goes up, the other also goes up, like how more study time leads to better grades. If it's close to minus one, it means when one goes up, the other goes down, like playing more video games and getting lower grades. If it's zero, they aren't connected at all.
Spearman's rank correlation measures how strongly two things are related based on their order, rank, instead of exact values. If it's close to one, when one thing goes up, the other also goes up in the same order, like taller kids usually having bigger shoe sizes. If it's close to minus one, when one goes up, the other goes down in order, like higher video game rankings meaning fewer hours of sleep. If it's zero, their order isn't related at all.
Euclidean similarity measures how close two things are by calculating the straight line distance between them. If the distance is small, they are very similar, like two houses on the same street. And if the distance is large, they are different, like houses in different cities. It's like finding the shortest path between two points on a map.
Dynamic time warping, DTW, measures how similar two sequences are, even if they speed up or slow down at different points. It's like comparing two songs sung at different speeds and matching the notes in the best way possible. Instead of just comparing them step by step, DTW warps the time to find the best alignment. Okay, back to the blog. From what I read, they found that the first two work best for them, right?
Yeah, and for good reasons. The Pearson and Spearman correlations give them p-values to work with, which helps validate if what they're seeing is statistically significant.
I found their real-world example really interesting, how they use this to understand the relationship between performance metrics and content distribution.
Oh yeah, that was super clever. They discovered that when users were seeing more video pins versus static images, it was actually affecting their latency metrics.
Makes total sense when you think about it. Video content is more resource-intensive than static images, but you'd need data to prove that connection.
Right, and this approach helped them find that initial statistical signal to justify deeper investigation.
Though we should probably mention their important caveat, correlation doesn't mean causation.
Absolutely. That's why this is just one piece of their puzzle. It's great for finding relationships between metrics, but you need more evidence to prove actual causation.
Which is probably why they built that third approach.
Yes, Pinterest calls it as experiment effects. This is where things get really interesting, because they basically flip A-B testing on its head.
Right. Instead of running experiments to see how they affect metrics, they're looking backward at existing experiments to find what might have caused a metric change.
Exactly. So if you see a metric moving in an unexpected way, you can actually scan through all the experiments that were running and see which ones might have contributed to that change.
What impressed me was the scale of this system. They're analyzing nearly 2,000 different metrics in real time.
And they're not just looking at basic engagement metrics. They're covering everything from system performance to user engagement and even trust and safety metrics.
The technical implementation is pretty sophisticated too. They're using Welch's t-test for each control and treatment group, right?
Yeah, and I love how thoughtful they were about noise reduction. They filter experiments based on p-values over time to avoid false positives.
They also catch cases where control and treatment groups might be ramping up at different rates, which could skew the results.
That's crucial for getting reliable insights. What's really cool is how they've managed to make this all happen dynamically, without pre-computing everything.
That must have been quite a challenge to optimize. I noticed they mentioned using extensive application-level caching and query optimizations to make it work.
It's pretty impressive when you think about it. Being able to instantly analyze thousands of metrics across all these experiments to find potential root causes.
And it all ties back to making data-driven decisions, right? Instead of guessing what caused a metric change, they can actually point to specific experiments that might be responsible.
You know what I found really interesting about Pinterest's future plans? They're looking into this whole area of causal discovery between metrics.
Yeah, that's going to be a game changer. It's like taking their current correlation analysis and pushing it to the next level to actually understand cause and effect.
Exactly. Instead of just saying these metrics moved similarly, they'll be able to build actual causal relationships between different metrics.
And they're also focusing on making the whole system more user-friendly. I particularly liked their idea about adding feedback mechanisms.
Right. Since not everyone using these tools will understand the underlying algorithms, they want users to be able to mark which results are actually helpful.
That's super practical. The system could then learn from that feedback and improve its suggestions over time.
What I found fascinating is how all three approaches we discussed can work together. Like, you might start with the slice and dice method to identify a problematic segment.
Then use general similarity to find related metrics that might be involved. And finally check experiment effects to see if any recent changes caused it all.
Exactly. It's like having different tools in your toolbox. Each one helps narrow down the problem from a different angle.
And they're not stopping there. They're looking to integrate RCA with more of their internal platforms, especially their data exploration and visualization tools.
That makes so much sense. Having these insights right where people are already analyzing their data would make the whole process much more streamlined.
It's really about making the technology more accessible to everyone in the organization, not just the data scientists and engineers.
Well, folks, that brings us to the end of today's deep dive into Pinterest's fascinating approach to understanding metric movements.
What a journey through their toolbox of solutions. from slice and dice to similarity analysis, and that clever reverse engineering of A-B tests.
I think what really stands out is how Pinterest has managed to turn this complex problem of understanding metric changes into something systematic and actionable.
Absolutely. And we definitely need to give credit where it's due. This incredible work comes from the brilliant minds of Charles Wu, Isabel Talam, Franklin Xiao, and Kapil Bajaj at Pinterest Engineering.
Their approach is seriously impressive, especially how they've combined different methods to attack the problem from multiple angles.
For all our listeners who want to dive deeper into this topic, you'll find the full blog post link in our show notes. It's definitely worth a read.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Blog Bytes. Keep building, keep learning, and we'll catch you in the next one.
See you next time, folks.
That's a wrap for this episode of Blog Bytes. If you enjoyed today's breakdown, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review. It helps us keep bringing you the best engineering insights in audio form. Got a blog you'd love to hear on the show? Let us know. Until next time, keep building, keep learning, and stay curious. This is Jeetan, signing off with my co-host, Sunil. See you in the next bite.